You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, April 25th, and we are so glad you are here. We are going to be talking wrestling from the past. Yeah, it's true. It's damn true. We are going to be talking wrestling. We're going to talk about WrestleMania and all the BS afterward. So it's going to be a good day. Hope everyone is well. And we are glad you are here because we are glad that we get to do this fun stuff. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
It's been a week. It's been a week. So before we start talking about WrestleMania, I just this is something I told Doc while we were talking today. He asked me what I thought about WrestleMania. And I told him that after watching WrestleMania, I sat down and watched Pride and Prejudice and The Notebook just so that I can remind myself what love feels like. because I lost all love while watching WrestleMania.
Wow.
I'm kind of exaggerating for dramatic effect, but not really. And then... You know, it's been a really, really regular Friday. You know, I go to work, I open the bar, I tidy up and, you know, get the alcohol delivery and then just, you know, talk to some customers and regulars and then just go home. One thing caught my attention, though. So there's a concert tomorrow, a local band. And
Metallica.
No.
Damn.
Metallica. And when we have concerts, we don't take reservations. We don't have a hostess that does specifically this job, takes care of people in accommodations, you know, around the bar and everything. Like, it's not a big bar. It's a regular sized bar.
We are the
so
bar.
Yes. So if you come on time, you will have a place to sit. If you're late, you won't have a place to sit. And we've been doing this for 8 years now, and we thought that, you know, everyone already knows, like, it's been 8 years. But, like, every now and then there's a concert and someone tries to, you know, to book a reservation for a table or a spot at the bar when there's a concert. And they, you know... call the phone that is in the bar. And today a lady called. She was so nice. She was like, hi, I know it's been last minute, but we're not a big group. You're like four people and we really, really want to reserve a spot in the bar. And I'm like, I just want to tell her, no, we don't take reservations. I'm sorry. I'm, you know, terribly sorry. And then she just kept talking. You know, the place that that is on the right of the stage, but like if you're looking at the stage, is really on your left. And she's really trying. Yes, she's really trying to explain to me where she wants to sit without me asking additional questions. She's trying to make it easy on me, and I'm like,
yeah.
I was trying to tell her that's, and she was like, I'm so sorry. I'm terribly sorry for, you know, calling in this hour. And like, it was noon What are you talking about? And I was like, yes, okay, thank you. So I immediately understood what specific spot you were referring to. But sadly, we don't take reservations for you know, concerts. That's, you know, bar politics. And she's just like, wow, what a stupid phone call that was then. And then she starts laughing, and I'm laughing with her, immediately start laughing. And she was like, oh, okay. By the laugh, I'm talking to Maggie.
Wow.
And I'm like, yes, you are. I'm so sorry for, you know, not being able to help you, but we don't make, you know, reservations. And I'm laughing my ass off because she was like, what a useless phone call this was.
Nice.
She tried to explain herself for 2 straight minutes, and I'm like, just trying to tell her no, but she's really nice, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most precious phone calls I've ever had, you know, concerning our bar. But hi, guys. This is a wrestling show. Thank you so much for joining us. Please leave a like on the video. This is the easiest and free way in which, you know, you can support us if you like what Rob and I do on this ridiculous fuckery of a stream that we have going on every Friday. If you want to, you know, contribute with some money, please send super chats. It's the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. You can also send a humper chat at humperchats.com. Rob and I always, you know, stride for you guys sending humper chats, because it does makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds, and this is the only sure way that we will be displaying oh my god, putting your comment on the show. Jesus Christ, it is not my day. Please subscribe to Fightful Select, the most precious $5.99 that you're ever gonna spend on wrestling news. Don't trust aggregators, because the Q&A formats that Sean does on Fightful Select are probably the most aggregated news sources recently, and almost none of them are right. So Sean has to correct a lot of them. So for $5.99, you will be getting all these news too. Your email. We do, Fightful Select does have a free tier in which Sean posts a lot of injury updates, so you'll be able to get that. A lot of scoops on the free tier. You can get, you know, all of the titles for the different articles, and you will get to see why you absolutely need to be a Fightful Select subscriber. Please subscribe to youtube.com/FightfulOverbook, the very channel that we are on. And then we can start talking about WrestleMania now, if you want.
Let's do it. So, usually when we do a review or talk about a show, we always start from the beginning. But as you can tell by the thumbnail, if you are watching on YouTube, or if you go to Fightful.com and you're watching there, The Rock is featured on our thumbnail, and we're going to talk about that in going to talk about that first, and the reason why. So, The Rock, who did not show up at WrestleMania.
He did not.
Yeah, he was not there. He was not there. Fightful Select can report he was not there.
Big E lied to us. Big E absolutely lied to us.
But yeah, so he did, though. What he did do is he showed up on Pat McAfee's show the following Tuesday after the Raw, so the Mania after Raw, he showed up, and
I still haven't watched this, by the way, so I'm gonna go ahead and trust you about everything that you just say.
Oh yeah, it's interesting, and yeah, the fact is that people are mainly talking about that. Kind of sucks, not because they're talking about more about that than they are talking about WrestleMania.
Sure. Well, there's not much to be talked about.
Yeah. So, about WrestleMania. Well, true. So, here's a little bit, I'll give you the notes of things that went down. So, mm-hmm. The Rock says that he could have been involved in the WrestleMania 41 match, but he wanted the spotlight on John Cena.
Sure.
And Cody, which, okay, I get that.
So I do not. Like,
just hold on. Like, okay, if that's how you feel, even though you're full of it, if that's going to be what you're going to say, okay. Because he wanted the spotlight on number 17 for John Cena. Sure. So why Elimination Chamber? The Rock said that the TKO CEO, Ari Emanuel, called him for help because the ticket sales for Elimination Chamber were slow. And people wanted something must see. Mm-hmm. So that's why they brought him in. He said he wants Cody to eventually turn heel because of how smart Cody is and how he pitched Cody selling his soul. And according to The Rock, Triple H decided to go with Cena instead. The Rock understands that people saw Travis Scott and that they thought he was coming out. He said he would have adjusted or finessed things a little bit more. Like with the story, The Rock says he called Cody and John Cena after Elimination Chamber and said that, "I think the final boss work is done." Basically the way he made it sound. He said he liked the finish of WrestleMania, but he would have gotten there differently. So he's basically throwing Triple H under the bus right there. He said he watched WrestleMania at home, so he was free. So basically, he basically said it twice that he didn't like the story. And he basically said that his job was done and that, like, after Elimination Chamber. That makes absolutely zero sense. And I'll get into it more, like, because Sean had a report, or not really. It's a report. He talked to some sources and stuff like that. So, and I'll get more into that because there's something that happened after that. So, Dave LaGreca of Busted Open. I don't know if you saw this at all. Did you see what Dave LaGreca said? Okay. So Dave LaGreca pretty much caused a stir this week because he went on some people say it's a rant. Some people say it was just it's pretty much a rant. Him just going off on what The Rock basically said. And I'm going to read it because otherwise it's going to be all out of context.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to read exactly what Dave LaGreca said. And I'm not going to be as animated as Dave though. He goes, I love professional wrestling because it's unlike any form of entertainment or sport. I'm passionate about it because I dive into it and it's not about, oh, it's not real to me, damn it. But man, it is. It is. Every time you step into that wrestling ring, you're putting your health and your body on the line. It's no more real than that. That is as real as it can possibly be. So when you say it's a work, I don't need to be reminded. I know that. So basically, The Rock, The Rock basically did say that the show's scripted and everything like that. He basically admitted that, which is fine. Everybody pretty much knows that. That's okay. Yeah. However, this was after McAfee. After the Pat McAfee, when LaGreca, now my timeline's kind of messing up because he responded to LaGreca as well. So, but he said,
The Rock responded to this?
Yeah, he responded to LaGreca, and I'll actually show what he said to LaGreca.
Okay.
But basically, LaGreca, you know, he was passionate about it. He says, you know, so when The Rock says it's a work, I don't need to be reminded. I know that. I'm trying to fight that off from everybody on the outside of the circle. I don't need somebody inside the circle who sits at the highest mountain in this business, which is the WWE, to tell me it's not real. I already know that it's not real. But let me buy into the magic that is professional wrestling. So when you say it's a work and that it's fake, then what are we doing here? Then what are we doing? The reason I rant and rave like I do is because I'm passionate about it. I didn't like what I saw at the end of WrestleMania 41. Just like if my Cowboys or my Yankees lose, I'm going to rant and rave about that. Doesn't mean I hate it. It's because I love it and that I get so passionate and I yell and scream about it. Don't tell me it's a work. I don't need you to tell me that. That's supposed to be from Dick or Jane down the street that doesn't like professional wrestling. They're the ones that tell me it's a work and that it's fake, not somebody within the business. Believe in the magic. It's the magic that makes people buy a ticket to go see WrestleMania or sit on their ass for 3 hours to watch Monday Night Raw or SmackDown because it's real to them. They don't need to be reminded that it's fake. Now, I went with this first because it'll put into context what The Rock replied after The Rock saw his LaGreca's first reply, because LaGreca went nuts about it. And I know I'm kind of skipping here, but this is the gist of it. This is like the biggest thing that like got me like irritated with The Rock. And this I'll show on screen because it's just easier. So this is what The Rock said. Hi, Dave. The business is a complete work. Always has been, always will be. Every aspect of it, every match, every interview. Please join me, Cody, Cena, Brian, Gwertz, and the rest of us for our creative discussion so you can expand your perspective. Until then, stop ranting. It's not healthy, my friend. Enjoy the show. P.S. Tell Bubba I have Grand Mariner, or Mart, whatever, and Hush Puppies for all of us. Whiskey, laugh, emoji, blah, blah, blah. So that was what he replied. He basically replied saying that, hey, like, I mean, this to be honest, I'm... To be honest, I'm kind of dumbfounded by this. I mean, I am. Because it doesn't make any sense for him to do any of this. And the fact that he went on McAfee. Okay, sounds like Marnier. Because I don't drink anymore, so I don't even... And I don't... So, whatever. And I've never had that, or... But... It's just so weird. It was like kind of like he saw the opportunity. He saw that people were like all over him. Like, where is The Rock at? Where's The Rock at? Why was he not there? So he saw this opportunity to basically make himself try to look good and basically throw creative under the bus. Well, it didn't work. He didn't make himself look good, in my opinion. He made himself look worse, and he made the business look worse. In my opinion, or he tried. Now, this is now LaGreca, like, responded to that message from Instagram, and he said, "What does that mean? Is he working every time he stopped?" Or excuse me, let me rephrase, Sean. Talk to some wrestlers or people within the business. And one of the things that when it came to Dave LaGreca's comment, one of the talent said to Sean, what does that even mean? Is he working every time they're talking about The Rock that he stops by and talks to us backstage? Was the McAfee interview a work, even though he specified he wasn't in character? Like, that's what they're saying. Like, what does this even mean? Because it's confusing. Like, It's kind of like the way I looked at it and how I explained it to somebody. It was kind of like one of those nights where he started as a face when he did a promo, and then he started attacking the city that he was in. Like, And then he went back to being a face, like, right away. It's like, what the hell is going on here? That's exactly how all this felt. Like, what are you doing? And a lot of people, and I'm starting to see this because it's always been out there somewhat that there's always been some kind of issue with Triple H and The Rock. There's always been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's always been out there. It's just not really talked about. And for The Rock to go out there, out of his way, to say that he's going to be on Pat McAfee, and then basically throw creative under the bus, and say that he would have done things differently, I think that proves to a lot of people more than it doesn't really prove anything, but to me it does, that he's basically saying he didn't like what was going on, so he took his ball and he went home. That's the way I took all this. He wasn't getting his way. And I could be completely wrong, but that's how I feel. And maybe one day it'll come out. But the thing is Rock, he has a tendency to sometimes not tell the truth. And what I mean by that is one thing that he did a couple of months ago, when Dave Meltzer said it and Sean said it, that he was not planned to be at WrestleMania. The Rock replied to somebody on Instagram and said, "Don't believe that shit or bullshit," something like that. And basically everybody started attacking both Meltzer and Sean. And guess what? Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, he wasn't there. And The Rock pretty much confirmed what was reported. He said Ari Emanuel contacted him. So, now I will say this. If that part is true about Elimination Chamber, that's cool. That's cool. Like, go in there, help sell tickets. But someone along the way dropped the ball big time because it made no absolute sense. Because A, The Rock did not promote WrestleMania once after Elimination Chamber, which is odd for somebody to be that high up in the company, not to promote it at all. I find that very, very interesting. I mean, I know if I'm like a board member or like a part of the company, I think I'd kind of promote it, you know? In my opinion, and this is without knowing for sure, this is just my opinion, I think he just took his ball and went home because he didn't like what was going on. Because Triple H is in charge of creative. They turned John Cena heel, which is what a lot of people wanted to see. I think it's kind of weird how they went about it, but oh well, that's fine. If that's how you want to do it, that's fine. The biggest thing that I took out of this is how weak they made Cody Rhodes look. Because you did all that crap you did last year. You had The Rock. You had Jacob Fatu, right? Was Jacob Fatu then? I can't even remember. My memory is just blown.
No, he wasn't there.
Thank you. Solo. Man, Solo. You had so many people like involved and they couldn't take him out, but you bring in Travis Scott.
Fiend.
And he just is able to get Cody not to pay attention for a minute. And there we go. And it costs Cody the match. So, and I do agree with Bren here. She goes, Cody looked like a total geek during that spot where he didn't want to hit Cena with the belt. I will agree with that. So, it's just, I just don't like how they made Cody look in this. I know Cody was advertised locally. He's not advertised for SmackDown per se, like for the show itself, unless that's changed in the past 20 minutes since I've looked at SmackDowns on WWE.com. But he is advertised to be there, but that can always change. We know that. I fell into that trap before. it's just very, 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 just like the biggest thing too is the fact that this is the biggest show of the year, and the fact that we're talking about it now, we're not even talking about that, we're talking about all the BS behind it, is annoying to me. And you have other things, like there's no disqualification. Like, you had Travis Scott pull the referee out. There was nothing. Like, I don't understand this. And Soupy says it right here. Cena wanted Travis to hit Cody in front of the referee and would get DQ'd. The whole thing was a mess. Like, it's just... Before we move on, what was your reaction to this mess?
So I'm glad I gave you the floor so you can, rant about it for like 15 minutes. I hope you feel better.
I do. I got to go off for a little while. Thank you. Yeah, I don't get to do that much.
Yeah, I know that you are incredibly, annoyed at that thing. So just, I wanted to give you the floor. So this was such a mess for me because it is, you guys know, like I was on this show last week and I was so excited about WrestleMania because I had Sunday off just so I can watch night one of WrestleMania at peace, in home. And then on Monday, I get to watch night two of WrestleMania before work in the evening. Incredibly excited about WrestleMania every year. It's, it's Christmas for wrestling fans. And that main event was, first of all, the match was horrible. Let's start with that. It wasn't the fact that the match was really, really, really good, but the creative way in which they chose to end the match ruined the match. No, it was already ruined to begin with. It was not good. So the whole thing with The Rock. So like they call him and say the ticket sales are slow for Elimination Chamber. So they called the guy and he was on Elimination Chamber. So after Elimination Chamber, they were almost next to zero mentions of The Rock. Because what happened at the Elimination Chamber is that The Rock came out, wanted Cody to sell his soul to him, and then Cody said no, and then Cena hugged him, gave him a low blow, and then he continued killing Cody via Travis Scott. So the thing that's, everything that you just said was extremely on point, and I agree with you. The thing that bugs me the most is that from WrestleMania, from Elimination Chamber to WrestleMania, with or without The Rock, that entire thing still happens. Cena wins the Elimination Chamber, Cena turns heel, Cena wins the championship at WrestleMania. Nothing would have changed if The Rock wasn't there. Yeah. Nothing. Absolutely not. This made no sense. What was the reason behind John Cena's heel turn in selling his soul to The Rock? What did he gain from selling his soul to The Rock? This is my question. Because we never got the answer for the question, why did Cena turn heel? We never got the answer.
Yeah, we don't know. Like, still.
Ever.
Yeah. And so, some people have said that, well, he explained it. No, he hasn't explained it.
No, he didn't. No, he hasn't explained it. Like, he did say that he was in a toxic relationship with the fans and whatever. That's him and the fans. This has nothing to do with Cody and the championship and everything. Like,
what and we was all the know. Reason? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And we all know that Cena's not going to retire as a heel. We just know that. So
I mean, that's I feel like that's common sense. You know, he's gonna see the error of his ways and everything. But like this is legitimately my biggest pet peeve when it comes to this entire storyline. Nothing changes if The Rock wasn't there. What was the reason? Like, if...
Well, we know what The Rock said. He said it was low ticket sales for Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, but like, he just could have been there.
I guess that's the same thing, but...
Again, he just had to be there. What was the reason? That's what I'm asking. What was the reason for Cena selling his soul to The Rock? The only reason would have been if The Rock came to WrestleMania and helped him beat Cody Rhodes. For me, this was going to be a legitimate reason. If they were going to do it like that, have Cena and Cody do back-to-back-to-back, you know, promos with each other. See Cena... show a little bit of a heelish side and then turn him heel at WrestleMania without The Rock. Because what the hell was that? Yeah. This could have been perfectly acceptable. And I do not get Travis Scott's involvement in this whatsoever. Because, okay, first of all, his music hit. And then he came to the ring for 3.5 hours. He was so slow. He was Jeff Hardy slow. I mean, just... And
yeah.
You're gonna tell me that Travis Scott was going to the ring for a whole eternity and then just Cody and Cena just sat in the ring like nothing. And the ref was like, I'm gonna allow all of this. And like exactly how Mark said in the chat, please hit him right in front of the ref so he can get DQ'd. Like, this made no sense. And lately, all companies in wrestling have made their referees look like chumps. And I hate this because... If you're going to be a referee, and it's been common knowledge that referees also kind of have wrestling training, kind of. Like, they're not wrestlers, but like it's been widely known. And then someone that's not even a wrestler, that probably I'm heavier than Travis Scott, and like he pulls the referee from the ring, and then the ref is out. But,
yeah.
No, like, I know, look, guys, we all know that action movies aren't real. But, like, we have a ton of questions when something ridiculous happens in an action movie. So we're allowed to have a lot of questions when it comes to a wrestling show. So we all know it's not real. We all know it's scripted. Like, we don't need to get, you know, reminded all the time. Like LaGreca said, we have people on the street shouting that wrestling is fake. We don't need that from our people. So when it comes to The Rock and Triple H, so people know I'm a fan of The Rock. He's the reason why I got into wrestling. He is the reason why I got back into wrestling. Everyone keeps saying, oh, The Rock and Stone Cold, that's the feud. No, like, for me, it was always The Rock and Triple H. That, like, the biggest opponent in Rock's wrestling history for me is Triple H. It's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. And because I have no way of knowing all of this, I'm not a fly on the wall. I'm not a friend of The Rock. I'm not a friend of Triple H. We all know that. So there's no way in me knowing if that is the case, you know, if there is legitimate beef between the two of them. And you did mention The Rock not liking creative, and he just took it ball took his ball and left. Do you think that this happened last year after the people chose Cody?
Because I think it's been part of it for sure. If not, like, I think it's been a thing for a while. And I think because Cena announcing his retirement changed things. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened. That caused a whole effect on everything. That caused The Rock knowing that he needed to sit it out because I guess they wanted to make sure Cena had the attention on him. I don't know. Like, that part, I don't know. But I think that had the biggest part to do with it. Like, they knew that Cena was gone. Like, this was going to be his last WrestleMania. And I think part of me wonders if they knew that they had to go a different route, because it would have been the same thing. Like, people were just like, we don't want The Rock versus Cody. You know, we want Cena versus Cody. I'm thinking that's just my thought process, is that that's what I think happened. I think that they looked at it like, hey, if we do this, we're just going to have the same issue that we had last year. We're going to have people wanting Cena instead of The Rock. And I think that might have played a part in it. Mm-hmm. But I do think last year's thing had a big part of it. I do. And I mean, we don't really know for sure, but I just, if I was to make a guess, I think that's it.
I was listening to the Spotlight on my way home from work, because I love Jeremy and Steven. And Jeremy said something that really stuck with me. He said that he thinks that The Rock just doesn't get Cody.
That's and what I'm guessing more than anything. I think it's
probably true, because it's really weird how, and this is me saying it, because listen, Cody turning heel, it's probably, you know, I personally wouldn't mind it, because I was bored with the Cody Rhodes character. But this is me, and that's just my opinion. And apparently, that's not the entire world's opinion whatsoever. I'm the odd one out, because his merch sales are through the roof. He sells out arenas. People love him. People cheer for the guy, apart from WrestleMania, because he was heavily booed, which I personally enjoyed immensely. But again, I'm not the one that matters here, you know? And at the end of the day, WWE finally had the new version of John Cena when it comes to a company babyface in the eyes of Cody Rhodes. I feel like everyone will agree here that there's zero reason for them to turn him heel. Zero reason. And that's probably why The Rock was so up for turning Cody heel, because he just doesn't get him. And I don't know, man, what this gave us was, because everyone's going to cheer Cena in his, you know, go home year in his wrestling career. And what they managed to do is for the people to boo their biggest company guy, that is Cody Rhodes. And I don't know. Cena did come out on the beginning of this week's Raw, and that he did get RKO'd. That was an awesome shot, by the way.
Yeah.
An awesome shot. It's good. They're going to fight a backlash, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a backlash.
Like, more than likely.
Yes. So, but like, we already know how this match ends. And I'm sure that I'm not at all gonna enjoy the match whatsoever. But I keep going back to Cena just not explaining himself throughout the, you know, the moment between Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. Because right after the first promo that he did, everyone was like, but he didn't explain himself. And I'm like, give it time. He doesn't need to blur everything out from the first promo. And I'm like, give it time. He will give us a reason. Just don't have that instant gratification in you. That's the typical millennial bull crap. So just don't have that. He's going to give us a reason. And then more and more promos went by and they were all more of the same. And I was like, okay, I'm growing a bit tired here. What was the reason you turned heel and joined forces with The Rock and sold your soul to The Rock and whatsoever, you know? So yes, this was stupid. It was incredibly stupid. And as a whole, WrestleMania was, you know, the highs were great, but the lows were fucking terrible, man. And it was just, and it's not because of the fact that WrestleMania 40 was so good. It's not that. It's not. I understand that that's a high bar, but the truth is, when it comes to WrestleMania, I don't tend to remember last year's WrestleMania. Like, if it was good, it was good. But, like, if this year's WrestleMania is so bad that it makes me remember the last one, that's a, you know, that's an issue. And just, we're going to go ahead and just talk about the different aspects of this year's WrestleMania. But hi, Eric. Thank you so much for the super chat.
Yeah, he says, hi, Maggie. Hi, Rob. Cena should have joined Heyman.
Oh, no, 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 no. What happened? I respect your opinion, of course, but what happened with Paul Heyman was the best part of WrestleMania. I love this so much.
It was interesting. So, yeah, and we'll get to that part because, I mean, it's part of night one. But, yeah, moving on from The Rock and Cena and all that talk, WrestleMania 41 night one started with Gunther and Jey Uso. Bold strategy with the way they ended this match. I did not understand it. I did not see, if anything, I did not see, I thought Gunther would win before he'd ever tap. That was baffling to me. Very baffling. I did not understand this at all. I knew Jey Uso was going to win. I think everybody knew Jey Uso was going to win, and I'm fine with that. I just don't like the way he did win. I thought that was just crazy. But I'm hoping with the way that the way Gunther was on Raw, I'm hoping this fixes that. I don't know how, though. And I'll get into this here shortly too, but yeah, him tapping was something I was not expecting. What was your thinking?
So the match was pretty much what it was. I expected Gunther to pass out.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
I expected him to pass out, but like he tapped out almost before Jay had the lock in. So he tapped out, and I'm like, well, fine. I knew that Gunther was losing, but sincerely, I thought that he was gonna pass out or be pinned. I don't know, because like, I wanted, I have zero problem with Jay. Okay, not zero, but like it's fine that they gave Jay Uso his flowers. He's universally known right now as the person who's, you know, a mini concert every time that he goes out to the ring. That's fine. Just eat all the way. That's fine. If you reward your wrestlers for getting over and selling out merch, that's the way to do it. Otherwise, you would have no... if they reward their wrestlers for doing a good job, that more of them will follow. Yeah, so the way the thing transpired on this week's Raw were not promising for me, because what happened was Gunther came out and attacked Michael Cole. Then Pat McAfee went to the rescue for Cole, and Gunther choked his ass out, and then he left. And then he was carried to the back. Michael Cole is a really good actor, by the way. He was...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good here, but like... As long as we don't get Gunther versus Pat McAfee, I will be fine. Because if this is what we're getting, I'm going to have a huge problem.
Yeah.
Huge, huge problem. And this doesn't mean that I didn't like Pat McAfee in the ring, because Pat McAfee had zero right to be this good in the ring, if you guys can remember. Zero right to be this good. But I have a huge problem with my favorite wrestlers having wrestling matches with people that aren't legitimate wrestlers. And yes, I am talking about Logan Paul and AJ Styles. So as long as we're not heading into this direction, I'll be fine. Just have Gunther kill everyone until he becomes a champion on whatever brand that he wants.
I think this is Kate, but it could be... Yeah, it's Kate. It has to be.
What?
It's Kate.
What? Kate? No.
I'm
I don't think Kate... I don't... What? Why is all of a sudden... Why is Kate all of a sudden turning heel on our show? She was...
Yeah. Oh, now...
No, no, it's not Kate.
It could be... I don't know. It's either...
That's not Kate. I'm sure that's not Kate. Yeah, so... just as long as we don't get to that, I'll be fine. Again, Pat McAfee, wonderful in the ring. I did not expect that. But... Please do not.
I think it was Sean that said it on Monday's post show that he would, that this would be a good way for Ludwig Kaiser to get maybe like a face turn or get involved. And
I feel like Gunther people want to be cheering for Kaiser.
Yeah, it's weird. I always thought, like, I've always wanted to be interested to see what a Gunther face turn looks like, but I'm more intrigued by,
I wasn't ready for a Gunther face turn.
No. I was going to say, I'm now more intrigued to see what a Ludwig Kaiser face turn would look like. But, yeah, very interesting to see. And I do like that idea to see what it does. But
tell me what you thought of Tiffany versus Charlotte. While talking about Kaiser, I just, you know, thought of Tiffany.
What do you
think about the match?
I thought it was a fine match. I thought they did pretty good. I know some people have their theories on Charlotte. Some people thought she was like sandbagging, like not helping really, like in the match. I can't tell that stuff because I'm not
bagging.
That's the term they used.
What's that supposed to be?
so basically it's – It's basically like not performing, like in a way, like you're not doing your part. That's the easiest way I can explain it. Like you're not helping.
What the hell is this?
That's the way I look at it. If somebody wants to,
why is it called?
Yeah, it's being like dead weight, like just lifting a sandbag. Like it's just you're doing everything on your own. Nobody's helping you.
Oh,
sabotage. Sabotage. Sabotage.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the way I explained it, dead weight.
I always learn new stuff with you guys. Okay,
And I don't explain it well because
you do your best.
I just don't explain things well because I'm me. But yeah, the match, it was I expecting more after? Could it have been better? Yes, but I always say it's easy for me to say that because I'm not a performer, you know, like I'm not a wrestler. So it's like one thing for me to say it, but I know how, basically after watching Rhea last year, Rhea and Charlotte, I know Charlotte can go. It's just, there's just something odd, like from the get go with these two. It wasn't for me. Like this match.
You're talking about Charlotte last year, and SP3 did bring up a good point during our prediction show for WrestleMania that he said, yes.
2 years ago. That was two years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. He brought up a point in which he said that, yes, Charlotte Flair is up there with one of the best wrestlers in the world, period, right now, male or female. But this was before her injury. We have no idea of knowing if she's that, you know, same person now.
Yeah.
Because after her return, like, she hasn't had that much in-ring time for us to be absolutely certain that this is, in fact, the case. Here's the thing. I didn't mind the match. I saw a lot of people had huge problems with it and that they were hoping that the match was over and let's get it over with, just, you know, put us out of our misery and everything. I kind of feel like that was... And this is probably me... this was probably me gaslighting myself into thinking that this wasn't as bad as everyone, you know, thought it was. But I would have no way of knowing if I don't just go back and watch the match again. And I don't think I wanna. because what we got after that was the main event of night one, and that was so good. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if people had a problem with this match. And you're going to have to explain to me why. Gunther is suspended indefinitely. Thank you. Thank you, Peggy, for sharing this information with us. Fuck Adam Pearce. That's all I'm going to say. Fuck Adam Pearce.
Wow.
He hates money. Yes, right.
That was Sean's post. Right in the penis from the main event.
In the penis. So you're going to have to explain to me why, what the hell did Paul Heyman say?
Oh, like that, like people got upset about, or?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm sorry, I'm working. I have no idea. You have to.
No, it's fine. It's just he. Okay, so a lot of it's, well, it mainly started like on the Pat McAfee show on Monday.
Sure. Pat.
No, I'm not blaming. Well, no, I'm not blaming Pat because, he basically like took shots at the like fans. He said he made a deportation joke about somebody in the one of the fans there, and that's something that we're dealing with here in the States. He did that. He took some shots. The roast, since then, the roast was pretty bad. He made some disparaging remarks about Freddie Prinze Jr.'s father. which weren't good. He just said a lot of things that just were pretty, like, just, I don't want to repeat them because I didn't think they were funny. They weren't funny. And I know that some people are like, it's a roast, and I get roast. I understand that. Roasts are what they are. As you can hear my cat in the background, maybe. I don't know if you heard that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But, nice. But yeah, the thing is, roasts are different, you know, like I've seen so many of them, like on Comedy Central, and I used to watch like the Dean Martin roast with my grandma way back in the day. So this is just weird. I find the biggest thing that I have a issue with is, I don't know whose idea this was, like in the WWE. If they weren't going to air it, why the hell do it? You know, what the hell's the point? Like, what? I just don't understand. Like, but roast or roast. And I my thing is, I've always looked at it, if you're going to roast somebody, this is my opinion only. If you're going to be at a roast, the only people that should be really like roast are the people there. Like, that's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But Freddie Prinze Jr. wasn't there. I don't believe. We know his dad wasn't there. It's just like a lot of things were said. A lot of things were said about Charlotte. Some things were said about numerous things were said. And it's, I would tell anybody to, if they want to know more about it, just to look on it on their own for that sake, because it did nothing for me. And like, as far as news wise, I didn't listen to the thing, and I can't really comment if I don't know much about it. I just know like the things I've heard and seen and read, and I could be taking some of that stuff out of context, but the Paul Heyman thing I did hear that clip. So that's why I said that, because I did hear that, but, okay. I don't know context wise some of the stuff, but I don't want to repeat it because I don't know exactly how it was said, a lot of stuff. I know that, I know Braun Strowman made a comment about why the hell he wasn't on WrestleMania. I know that, but I don't know if there was a joke behind that, stuff like that. I mean, I know you want information, like, and people who are watching this show want information, and the difference is I'm not going to make shit up if I don't know it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well, that's a bit disappointing, but like,
I'm used to just, yeah. And Ophelia basically said it was basically an airing, like people airing their grievances that were there. This was the other thing. There were, from what I read and understood, there were some racist and sexist remarks from Paul Heyman. Yeah. So it's just one of those things where a lot of things were said, and I didn't think it was a good idea from the start. And then when it's just one of those things where I did hear, and I mean, I think there's a reason why the audio took a while. Like, the audio got leaked last night, I believe, or that's when people found it. Anyways, there's a reason why they didn't want that audio getting out there. There's a reason why there was no video footage of the whole thing that we know of yet. I just don't get it, but that's me. Like, I can't. Yeah. Okay. Scott said that Heyman mentioned on McAfee that Braun sucked. Okay. So there. But.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, talking about Paul Heyman, you know, might as well actually, you know.
Yeah, but I guess SP3 talked about it on In the Weeds, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe he talked about yeah. it on True Hill Heat. I'm not sure, but I know I saw him post something about it. So, yeah, this is a future. This is a future dark side of the ring, for sure.
Yeah. Well, talking about Paul Heyman, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, which is the new stable that the guy has. So yeah. What happened during the WrestleMania Saturday, the main event of the first night of WrestleMania, which was Seth Rollins versus Punk versus Roman Reigns. This match was so good. So yeah. good. It had so much history, so much in-ring psychology. And so many throwbacks between all three of these competitors. It was so good. I got flashbacks from the time that they called Seth Rollins the Architect. I missed that nickname. I hate Seth freaking Rollins. I hate the Kingslayer.
The architect was
and forever will be my favorite Seth Rollins nickname. For people familiar with our show, I'm a huge Seth Rollins girl. Forever and ever a Seth Rollins girly. So what happened was so Paul Heyman gave gave Punk a chair, and Roman felt so betrayed, You can see him in his eyes, and then Paul Heyman low-blowed CM Punk, and Roman Reigns was so happy. He was smiling, he was laughing, and then he got the chair and started, delivering chair shots to CM Punk. And then Paul Heyman, like the snake that he is, he directed his attention towards Seth Rollins. He was like, look, it's Seth. You like hit him next. And then Roman Reigns wanted to deliver a chair shot to Seth Rollins to the back, exactly like Seth Rollins did back in 2014.
Yeah.
And then Paul Heyman low blows Roman Reigns. And then we get the visual of Seth Rollins, what did he do? He chair shots to Roman, and then Seth Rollins pinned Roman Reigns in the middle of the ring. That shot of Seth Rollins pinning Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman in the background was absolute gold. So they left WrestleMania together, and what happened on this week's Raw, that Paul Heyman presented Seth Rollins as the reigning defending next superstar. And so Punk came out and tried to attack Seth, but Seth killed him. And then, and then Roman Reigns came out and he speared Seth. He delivered a Superman punch to Paul Heyman and then got speared by none other than Bron Breakker in a hoodie. And then he speared Roman. He delivered a spear through the barricade. And then Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, and Paul Heyman celebrated in the ring. Now, I don't know if Becky Lynch will join this faction that they formed together, but I sure as hell hope that, I don't know, like, I will be incredibly glad if a woman gets to be a part of, this faction as well.
I hope they don't go. I hope she doesn't get involved. I hope they don't go that route. I hope if they do something, they go with. I do hope that they do add like someone, but I don't want it to be her. I would rather it be. Man, there's a lot of people I think it could be. Shit, I don't know. Maybe that'd be good. I know, like I've seen a lot of people show like Austin Theory, and I don't really like that idea. What I do like, and I know, like I see it right here, like some people say Fraxium. What I do like is the idea of Ben Carter being part of it. Nathan Fraser, because he trained under Seth Rollins. I do like that idea. I like that more than the Austin Theory idea. But these are people I'd rather see. I'd rather see Julia or Bailey, not so much Roxanne, even though Roxanne's great. I would rather see Julia or Bailey in part of it. That's just me.
Yeah, so I was referring to Bailey because what happened was Bailey took Becky. Becky took Bailey's spot as a tag partner for Lyra against Liv and Raquel. So they won the tag team championships at WrestleMania and then lost them back to Liv and Raquel on this week's Raw, and then Becky turned heel on Lyra. So I have zero problem with Becky turning heel on Lyra. What I do have a problem was the fact that Lyra looked like a chump. Because Becky hit her and she was like looking at her from the ground and like...
Like what? Why? What do you...
Why? Like it was just a lariat. Get your ass up and fight back. What are you doing? Like they made her look incredibly weak, and I'm not a fan of that because I like Lyra. I miss NXT UK and I like Lyra. Shout out to Noam Dar, who won back his North Heritage Cup from Lexus King, and this Heritage Cup is once again going to be a true Heritage Cup now. With, by the way, Standard Deliver was a brilliant show this year. Yeah, the women's ladder match for the North American Championship was a thing of beauty. I've lined it as match of the year candidate for me personally. Incredible match. I'm so happy for Sol Ruka. The core strength on that bitch. How dare you? How dare you have that core strength? Honey, I love you. Night 2, on the other hand, had Io versus Bianca versus Rhea Ripley for the women's championship. That three-way was an incredible opening match for Night 2, and it set the tone, and then everything died.
I was enjoying it till, that was the best match by far. Wow. I mean, that match kicked ass, and I remember I was watching it with a couple of friends and I said, man, this match sets the tone for the show.
And then it did.
Yeah, it didn't. and then we knew going into it last week when we talked about it, just, we knew what we were getting with our AJ Styles match, unfortunately. But that irritated the living hell out of me. God. But
so, no, listen, because we were having a conversation, Rob and I. He was like, I did like the fact that it took like a lot of outside shenanigans and interference for him to get beat. And I'm like, I hated this the most because AJ Styles is one of the biggest veterans in that locker room. He has been through it all. Why the fuck would he get distracted by shit like that? He was the leader of the Bullet Club.
I know.
The leader of the Bullet Club would never have lost a match like that. He was like, one of the stupid ass friends for Logan Paul. He was like, "Use that brass knuckles, dude. I'm putting them here. See, yeah." And then, like, Karrion Kross shows up, and he was like, "No, no." And then he gives the brass knuckles to AJ Styles. I'm like, "You use that on him. You do it." And AJ Styles was like, "No." And he just throws the brass knuckles away and just shoves the guy, you know, Karrion Kross. And then he goes back to the ring, gets pinned. Fuck that. No. And people, Maggie, you just don't like Logan Paul. He's a terrific wrestler. Fuck off. He's not a terrific wrestler. He's incredibly athletic. There's a huge ass difference between being athletic and being a good wrestler. You will notice the huge difference when you keep an eye on Logan Paul, while he's supposed to be selling a move. Because while that entire thing with the brass knuckles was happening, do you know what he was doing in the ring? Lying belly first in the ring, not doing anything whatsoever. He is not a good wrestler. He is athletic. His physique is great. He has the worst buckshot lariat that I've ever seen. No. Every time he lands on his feet, I feel like his kneecaps will explode. Every time he lands that lariat, you know, the flippy thing. Every time. Every time.
Flippy dippy shit.
Yes, dippy dippy shit. It's easy for me to say it while I'm actually a couch potato. Not really, but like compared to Logan Paul, I am a couch potato. That does not make him a good wrestler. I'm so sorry if you think that the Logan Paul is a good wrestler. He's in fact not. I'm sorry. You're not. No. This could have been Karrion Kross. Just saying. This could have been a Karrion Kross match, but it was not. And I'm pissed off about it. Because what did Karrion Kross do? He got on a microphone and cut the best promo of his life.
Well, he got on that podcast, the Raw. Yes. Or was it Raw? Or no, it was a WrestleMania one, wasn't it? I don't know. Who gives a damn? But yeah, he cut a hell of a promo on that Raw talk or whatever the hell it was. Smack or WrestleMania talk or whatever with that was a good promo he cut, but yeah. Ooh, so
oh Dominic yeah we have Mysterio that champion.
What's up?
Dominic Mysterio is Intercontinental.
Yeah, Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, Intercontinental champion. That dude had the biggest pop of the night.
Yeah.
I kind of think that people are extremely ready to cheer the crap out of Dominic Mysterio. Yep. And the good news is JD McDonough is back. I don't know if he's cleared or not. Is he cleared?
I assume if he's in the ring doing, like, if he touches somebody,
just shove the guy. He just shoved Penta.
Yeah, but usually anytime somebody gets physical at all, like any way, even like with a push, it means they're cleared. So I would assume, and I know in this business you can't really assume, but I think he's cleared. I mean, I that's just my opinion. If he's on TV and he did anything, like, I think he's cleared.
I'm happy that he's back. That was a really, really gruesome spot that he took in the back of his head. So he's back. He shoved Penta on from the top rope while Penta was having a match against Dominic Mysterio on this week's Raw for the title. So Dominic retained.
Dominic won. Oh, you mean, sorry, you're talking Raw now. Gotcha. Yep.
Yeah, Dominic retained on Raw. So the interesting thing was that Everyone from the Judgment Day knew that J.D. McDonagh was going to be back, apart from Finn. He had no idea that he was going to be back. So this remains to be seen, like whatever happens in the camp of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I enjoyed Dominic getting the win. And I mean, that was one of my predictions that I got. I'm glad he won. I was surprised by the reaction. I love that he ran back into the ring. Like, I love that. That was great.
Oh man, he was gonna soak all of this. People were cheering for him. They love the guy.
Of course he was gonna. Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's the thing about WrestleMania crowds, even the Monday night after. It's a different animal. I just enjoyed it.
You should never trust the WrestleMania crowd nor the Raw after WrestleMania crowd. That is not a standard.
Yeah.
Like, wait for next week's show in order for you to understand if someone's
over. Oh, even tonight. I mean, they're in Fort Worth tonight, so they're out of Vegas completely.
Even tonight. Yes, you're absolutely correct. And tonight we do have a TLC match for the Tag Team Championships. Yeah.
They're in Texas.
Really excited for that.
Yeah, so there's that. So we talked. Did we hit all the matches now from night two? We already talked Cena. We talked.
We didn't mention Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, but like you all know that Sin City Street Fight is always gonna, you know, deliver. The match was what it was. I'm glad that Drew won with a claymore through a chair and in the ropes. Good on Drew McIntyre for getting a WrestleMania win. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yes. I agree with that. Cooperfect?
Yes.
Let's do it. Dun 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 dun.
So, hi guys, this week's Cooper Effect is in fact brought to you by our friend Corey Michaels.
That's not Corey.
That is in fact not Corey. Although it is exactly as adorable as Corey. But yeah, this is Ivy the poodle. Hold my poodle. So, Ivy is, she's a cute little doggy that is a therapy dog. And a dentist office. So a lot of people that have anxiety when it comes to going to the dentist or whatever health, mental problems that you have, a dog will always help you. That's my experience, you know, especially a trained therapy dog such as Ivy. So a dentist wanted to use Ivy in their clinic to calm down patients in order for them to get comfortable enough to get, you know, the job done. So the doctor can get the job done. But the thing is, this whole thing is happening in Kansas. So the Kansas Board of Dentistry wrote a letter in which they said that this could not stand and they were going to have to remove the dog from the dentist's office. So the doctor will probably use each and every penny that they have in order for them to build a case with their lawyers, just so they can keep Ivy in that dentist's office. Because this is just ridiculous. And this is exactly what I told Corey while we were talking to each other today. I was like, oh, look, a thing that works and makes people comfortable. Let's remove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like they think it's insanitary and it's not healthy and everything, but like everything is okay with the dog, and they're a special breed and they're hypoallergenic. So even like there's even less percent chance that you will get you know, an allergic reaction if you do have allergies. But it's incredibly ridiculous, man. And this is borderline betting, you know, different medicine that is, if you understand what I'm talking about, betting special medicine just because it's not the pharmacy bought medicine. Although it does a lot of work and it actually does everything. I'm extremely annoyed about that because, and it's not, this isn't even an alternative medicine. This is just something to make your brain calm the fuck down so that the doctor can do their fucking job.
Yeah.
Justice for Ivy. The doctors hope that she gets to come back to the offices sooner rather than later. But again, this is ridiculous. Just give Ivy her chance and give her job back and let her, you know, do what she does best, being a therapy dog and helping people throughout their dentist appointments. No one likes going to the dentist. I will have no man shoving his instrument in my mouth without being there. If you're going to do that, might as well have a puppy there. I mean,
oh, God. You're talking about the dentist still, I hope.
Yes, I'm done. You can spit. So.
Yeah, there's a reason I always put that warning on the podcast when I upload it at the end of the show. Does this show contain explicit material?
Yes, yep. Maggie's on the show.
Yeah. Well,
you what spit. Do you think of dynamite?
Well, yeah, well, it's explosive, I guess. It was a decent episode, I thought. I mean, pretty good. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I thought it was pretty good. I make him say, I guess, you know.
Make him say, That's a Cody Rhodes reference. Yeah. That is a Cody Rhodes reference.
Well, it's, and Cody Rhodes got it from Master P, so.
Of course it did. I just, this is my opportunity, my weekly opportunity to say that, guys, I miss being the elite so much. I miss it so much. You cannot believe. I want BTE back.
Yeah.
The show ended to no fanfare. No.
But when it comes back, it'll be good.
I don't think you're ever going to be back.
It'll be back. It'll be
okay,
back.
But like when the elite are back together as a, you know, as a functioning... Yeah. You know, babyface group.
It'll be back. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be back, and the world will rejoice.
Yeah, hopefully. And they're going to sing to each other, carry on my wayward son.
Speaking of the world will rejoice, what do you think of FTR's heel turn?
I was expecting it. Our thoughts go out to our friend Jackie. I was expecting it. I prefer FTR as heels because they're
they're better as heels. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought they were faces for what they were going to do to Tony Schiavone, but that's just me.
Yeah, but that's a different story. I do wonder. I can't wait to see what they look like with Stokely Hathaway there. Because that came out of nowhere, and I cannot wait to see what that's like. So they attacked the Rock and Roll Express, and Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong came out to the rescue. I would have Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy fight FTR, and I want the winner of that match to have a tag team championship opportunity. Because while I do enjoy the fact that Hurt Syndicate are on the screen regularly, it's actually not about the tag team championships. It's about MJF. So what MJF did this week was like, he got the thumbs up for Shelton Benjamin. But Shelton was like, I'm not giving you a thumbs up because of the bronze. Okay. And, you know, and the watch. I'm doing it for MVP. So Bobby Lashley is the only person that's left that will not give MJF a thumbs up. So MJF is like, yeah, you know, you saw that car that I came with? So if you give me the thumbs up, that car is yours. And Bobby Lashley was like, yeah? Let's go to the car. And then they go to the car and he hops on with Shelton and then just drive off and they give him a thumbs down.
Yeah.
So good. And then MJF is still like, MVP tells him, give the people what they want and they will say yes. So with each and every week, they keep telling him no. And I keep wanting to believe that MJF gets the thumbs up and then MJF got his own group and they attacked the Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah.
This is what my mind keeps going back to, because if you're MJF, why on earth would you, and this is MJF, again, this is MJF, why on earth would you like to be a part of a group that so does not want you that you need to chase them? MJF has never chased anyone in his entire life. So yeah. I'm kind of anxious to see where this is going, and it's kind of interesting.
So who's Hangman face on Dynamite next week? Is it Ospreay? Or no, it's
Kyle Fletcher.
Who's he face? Fletcher, that's it. So you think, what do you think we're getting? Fletcher versus Hangman, or Fletcher versus Ospreay, or Fletcher versus...
No.
Man, I can't even talk to Ospreay versus...
This entire thing...
What we're going to get is an appearance by none other than Mark Davis. He's going to show up in this match. And he's going to say, Kyle Fletcher, I need your soul. And then we're never going to hear from Mark Davis ever again after that. He's just going to be gone off of television, never to return. That's what we're going to get out of this.
Hell of a run.
I'm with you, Maggie. I've John Cena wristbands. I trolled Jensen all last night.
I know. That was so good. I miss you guys so much. Why on earth did you change times? I hate you.
Now we're doing In the Weeds 5 days a week. So now that's every morning at 10.
Yeah, that's great and all. But like, Steven and you are, you're my thing. I love you guys.
I appreciate it. We're having fun on Thursday evening. I can still troll him Thursday evening just as well as I do Thursday morning.
I so wanted to be in the chat yesterday because I was gonna troll Steven with you because god damn it.
he was
so heartbroken, man.
He was. It wasn't as bad as 39. 39
no.
Was
nothing will ever top.
Yeah. Nothing will beat that. Cause I think even though he was confident that Cody was going to win, he expressed his confidence that Cody was going to win at WrestleMania 40 or 41. I think in his heart of hearts knew there's a pretty good chance he's going to lose this match to John Cena and John Cena's last ever WrestleMania. 39. We all thought Cody was winning that one. And then
all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, he booked a hairstylist appointment and a tattoo appointment.
That's why I got beef with Triple H, is we could have had the greatest bit ever on that show with Jensen having the hair and the tattoo. And instead, Triple H is like, no, Roman's going to have it for another year. Mm-hmm. How are you folks doing? I just popped on to say hi.
Doing good.
I really want to congratulate you on doing the bet. That was, as good as, you know, you doing the
See, people doubt that, like, I can't do this for like 20 minutes or something. That's all planking. I plank every day with the little one in my family. We plank. We're up to 6.5 minutes now. We're doing 6.5 minute planks.
You're
we
lying. Started,
I know, not lying. We can do. We just did 6.5 minutes today. We up it every week. We up it every week. So we're up to 6.5 minutes.
So you saw Cora Jade, not Cora Jade. So Luca doing that incredible core strength thing from the ladder at Stand and Deliver, yes. and you said bad, and you.
I'm not that like bendy, so I don't know if I could do that, but I can at least hold a plank for 6.5 minutes if nothing else.
That's impressive. Like, I cannot hold a plank for more than 2 minutes, but I'm extremely flexible.
It's difficult, but we've been working all year for it. I just want to stop by, say hi, and I wanted to publicly and face-to-face say thank you to Rob Wilkins for all of his help this week with making Spotlight thumbnails. I had to call on him early this morning to do it because Joel is running from the grind, but he also made it all last week and this week for us. And anytime. Because Joel was out in Vegas. So I appreciate you, Wilkins.
Anytime.
Helping out anytime. With that. Thank you.
Rob is
no
the
problem,
best.
Buddy.
He is. So I wanted to say that out here on the air because I can say it to him all day in private, but you know, sometimes you need the public affirmation.
Yes, so, you do. Thank you so much for understanding that.
Since you're here, what do you think my Timberwolves have a shot at this series? Do you think they have a shot?
I liked them before the series started, and game one definitely proved some stuff. Game two was a little bit rougher, but they've got home court now, you know, so I still think this is going 6 or 7. I'm still going with the Lakers. I still think the Lakers are – they got Luka and LeBron. It's tough to go against them. But I thought people were writing off the Timberwolves way too quickly to start.
If there's a game – if it goes to game 7, we don't have a shot. If if we can get it to 6 games, if it goes more than 6 games, we're done.
You got to beat the refs in game 7, and that's going to be difficult as well, on top of beating the Lakers.
Yeah.
You guys do. Yeah. Subi's mentioned the Wild. The Wilds are doing well. We're not talking about hockey around here for me, but good luck to your Wild, I guess. I don't like Vegas either. I don't like anybody in the West. I hope you all lose. So that's kind of where I'm at with things.
I understand. I get it. Well, thanks for stopping by, man.
Thank you. Thank you again for all your help this week, Wilkins. Maggie, always great to see you. Love you guys. Bye.
See
you.
Bye-bye. That was good. We got another.
You're so good, Rob. Thank you for being so wholesome.
No problem. Tom Talks Rubbish sends us a super chat. Thank you for always being so kind to me. You're awesome. Oh, thank you, my friend. We appreciate you so much.
I find that being awesome to awesome people is really easy. So,
yeah, faux show.
It is,
but
extremely two-sided. So yeah, we were talking that it. This the Owen final on the men's side was, in my mind, was always going to be Will Ospreay versus Hangman Adam Page. It's no coincidence that Will Ospreay said that he wanted really bad to face Hangman.
Yeah,
right before the Owen started. So this is I'm almost certain that this is the direction in which we were going. We got Roppongi Vice in the Don Callis family. I did not see this coming because you can see everyone in media praising the crap out of Rocky Romero every time that they bring him up because, like, Rocky Romero is the glue that's keeping Forbidden Door together.
For now.
And The Rock with the New Japan shirt and everything.
And it's just kind of, like I was going to say, it's interesting. The Rock wears that, and then 2 days later, or 2 or 3 days later, they announce the AAA.
They bought AAA, and like that's...
Kind of odd.
Kind of odd. And like, you know... So this is where they're heading. And whilst I have no problem with, I I would actually prefer, and if Hangman won the match and was the one to dethrone Moxley, because for me, Hangman is the main character in WWE, in AEW, Jesus, in AEW. He will always be the main character there. Well, not always, but at least for now. And that's why I have no problem with him being actually the one to win the championship off of Moxley. On the other hand, it will be extremely, extremely annoying that if Moxley beats whoever of the two in the match and they still think that Darby Allin is the one. This will be extremely annoying. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everyone who's a fan of Darby Allin. He's not for me.
Well, Not for me. I agree. I understand.
Yes.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we call it a day?
Oh, Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter at the women's side of the Owen. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's going to be good. Good times.
So all in all, it's turning out right now. I'm already excited for Double or Nothing because we have two amazing matches.
Yeah.
I don't know if so John Moxley versus Samoa Joe is it?
Yeah.
As a Dynamite? Yeah. It's at a Dynamite, right?
Yeah, next week, I believe, right? Might be whenever they're in Chicago for a beach break. Yeah. Maybe. I could be wrong. Let's see. We got another super chat from our friend Eric Freeze. He says, "You both are awesome and brighten up our days. Did either of you listen to the new Sleep Token song? Also, Okada to dethrone Mox."
I did. I've listened to all the new songs from the Sleep Token last album. Sleep Token for me are is the new generation of the band that you absolutely need to be listening to.
Yeah, I'm not listening to it.
Yeah, but I've told you about Sleep Talking
already. No, you have. I just haven't listened to this song.
But the thing is, most recently, I've been extremely diving into Eminence.
Over rapper.
No. And I've been extremely, consumed by their music as of the last couple of weeks. I'm listening to only Eminence on my way to work, on my way home, if I'm not listening to any Fightful podcast or whatever. So I'm always going to be on a Sleep Token high, but Eminence are what's keeping me going lately.
Cool. Well, Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, please listen to God-Fearing Man by Eminence. And you can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever you guys want to call it at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, and on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK. Thank you so much for joining us. Rob and I always have a blast here. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. And reminder, guys, after this show is done and or you're watching on demand, please leave a comment below on YouTube. It helps us out a lot with the algorithm. The algorithm hates us because we have at least one show a day. And this sucks for the channel. And, you guys putting your comments below makes YouTube aware that you guys are enjoying, or whatever you're watching on Fightful Overbooked. And we get to pop up more on people's YouTube playlist channels or whatever. So the two wonderful things that you can do in order to support this channel, this podcast, Rob and I, is to simply drop a like on the video and leave a comment below. I will never stop asking you guys for that. Please leave a like and leave a comment below. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, Maggie's pretty much just asking you to make the
sacrifice.
and we appreciate that. And guys, do yourself a favor and listen to the Goo Goo Dolls song Iris. Just kidding. That's the only song that came to my mind. Follow me at Rob Wilkins.
Wonderful song.
It's a good song. Yeah, just I wanted to just throw a random one out there. I just wanted to throw a random one out there. Follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob and on Threads at Fightful Rob. Want to say thank you again for tuning in. We will talk to you again next week for another episode of Coexisting. Hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you next week tonight on SmackDown, depending on if you watch SmackDown or not. Have a TLC match. Street Profits defending their titles against Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano.
Beardless Ciampa.
Yeah, Beardless Ciampa and the Motor City Machine Guns. See you later, everyone. Peace out. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.